Welcome back to the QSIA podcast series. Thank you for joining me again. And this particular podcast extends a podcast we did very recently looking at the Spanish mackerel fishery. In that podcast, we had a grouping of commercial, recreational and charter fishers to discuss concerns around the management of this fishery. And what we're doing today is taking a more industry-focused perspective here. The two gentlemen I've got with me today are Richard Gilmore and Peter Stevens. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me. Outside of the start of the podcast here, I was speaking to Richard, and apparently there may be, or there will be, another round of consultation beginning next week. I would have to ask, as an advocate for industry, what the hell are we being asked to do again? Like, the first round of feedback should have been very clear. I don't know that we can say anything else other than we don't know who's managing Fisheries Queensland, or we do know who manages Fisheries Queensland, but if we have to go through this again, it would raise questions around the competency of that department. I really don't understand why we're going through another round of consultation. That's my view of this. I might put that question to both of you, starting with you, Peter. Why another round of consultation?
During the last working group meeting, a lot of points were raised about the way that the procedures that they are supposed to have been following, that they haven't. There was a schedule put out originally saying that there was supposed to be a couple of consultation things. There was a lot of things that were supposed to be done by the 30th of June today. I sent them an email on the 29th of last month, and I actually said the biggest concern is the timeline we're supposed to be working to. We've constantly mentioned it in the working group. We're supposed to, on the 22nd of the 5th, I was surprised to see that we're still supposed to complete three more actions in the next 9 days. This include a working group meeting, an expert panel review, and finalising a rebuilding strategy. So that was what we were supposed to be done in this last 5 weeks. They've done nothing. We got an email from them a couple of days ago saying, yes, we're going to have a discussion with you next Tuesday night, I think it is, for approximately 1 hour to tell us the results of the surveys that they've received. The surveys are interesting because the survey's interesting because initially in the working group we were told we couldn't question their science, we couldn't question any of that sort of stuff. Any policy was going to be fully scientifically based. For them to suddenly turn around and base policy decisions on 1,400 people who have decided to have a say and send a submission in seems a bit contradictory, I think. Why would you have an expert panel of academics, et cetera, when management decisions can be based on information compiled from 1,400 unqualified submissions?
That idea of citizen science or citizen feedback, I should say, coming in from people that know nothing about the operations of the fishery has always been an interesting way to manage the fishery. I guess one of the things that they will throw back at us as well, it's a community resource, so shouldn't people have a say? I would have expected that the department are there to represent the Queensland community and they're meant to be experts in the management of the fishery. Why are we seeking continually feedback from people that don't know what the hell is going on? Richard, what's your perspective, mate?
Where do you go to from here? The reality of the situation with asking the public for feedback is the public is asked to get involved with making policy decisions on how a fishery is managed. If Fisheries Queensland, and they've stated that they are 100% behind their stock assessment, believe in the stock assessment, and they believe in the science, holus bolus, the recommendations of that science is to close the fishery. Now, for the proposals that they've put to us in the working group meetings, there's going to be a lot of pain for the commercial fishing sector for the next 9-10 years if this science is correct. And I just find it hard to believe that Fisheries Queensland, you know, want to listen to the general public on how they feel the best way is to manage a resource. So, it beggars belief that that's the situation we're in. Again, I reiterate, I do not believe in the science. I think there's a lot of contradicting factors that have been brought up in public from Fisheries Queensland management around the science, to which we'll touch a little further on as we go along. Yeah, I don't think there's enough emphasis on the commercial importance, the triple bottom line. At the moment, as far as I'm concerned with the triple bottom line, there's only one factor that's being looked at here, and that's the ecological factor, the environmental side of things. So
that's exactly right. I was going to say that after Eric's thing before. The initial meetings were all 100% ecological. They weren't particularly interested in the social economic things. Now bringing the public in to make comments on it is appearing to, it appears to be fisheries sort of trying to say they've ticked the box of, oh yes, we've consulted people, we've looked at some of the effects. They haven't, but it looks like they're at least paying lip service to it. From one of the inquiries that the SRIDC did, Jim McDonald, I've written something that he wrote here. Through the inquiry, we've discovered that there are quite alarming differences from very small inputs that we were told about. I am really interested to understand this methodology more. From my information, there is soundness to the methodology as long as the input is right. And the inputs are what we have disagreed with the whole time. It's as if you had the world's best sausage-making machine and your foot put rubbish in the end of it, and the best sausage-making machine is still going to put rubbish sausages out the other end. The SRIDC is the state regional and, hang on, the State Development and Regional Industries Committee. It's a bipartisan parliamentary group that I spoke to on the 8th of March. I was invited by Tom Smith, the local member, to have a speak to them about something. Since then, they have, on the 22nd of March, they questioned some of the senior managers in fisheries, some of the most senior managers in fisheries, to get some of those things I've just said.
We'll get the links to those documents and put them in the podcast description for people to have a look at. Again, talking offline, communications between the department and the working group. So other than what you've just described, do you get the sense that they're just dictating where this is going to go, or do they genuinely want your feedback on this?
They're not communicating with us. In the last 5 or 6 weeks, there has been absolutely nothing. I've sent them a variety of emails asking for answers to questions, and there's just none forthcoming. When you do finally get something back from them, quite often the email sort of starts with something like, oh, sorry, I thought we'd sent that. Oh, hang on, it must have been in my drafts. Oh, sorry, I thought someone else had responded. Oh, it's my fault, I didn't respond in a timely way. I've got all these things listed. I've actually made a little table of my fisheries responses. That seems to be the official department line to respond to someone via email. To get a response from, I'm not particularly tech savvy, but I finally found out how to attach a read receipt to an email. And I did that the other week, and I actually grudgingly got some responses. And one of them actually said, sorry, I thought someone else had responded. So there you go.
Sorry, Richard, what's been your experience of it, mate?
There's really not been much forthcoming from Fisheries Queensland to the working group as such. Probably the only thing that we've been made aware of, well, we've known for a fair while that there's going to be two rounds of consultation, and that was supposed to be squeezed in before June 30 so they could make things happen, but for some reason that didn't transpire, which is probably not a bad thing for industry, but not knowing where we're going this season is a major concern for us as well. I've spoken recently with the Director General of Fisheries Queensland, Executive Director of Fisheries Queensland, and some of the things that he'd said in that conversation raises some serious concerns. He's stated things along the lines of Fisheries Queensland's position has always been for a closure around the spawning season. That closure is most likely going to happen this season, this coming season. And that can happen under from a directive issued from his position. The fishermen have been spending money doing refits. They're going out catching bait. The season's basically underway. These guys still don't even know that come September, October, November, they could potentially be shut out of the fishery under a directive from Fisheries Queensland.
I can't understand that. So you could start working July, August, you're 8 weeks into a season, and then for 3 months they could say you can't fish anymore.
Correct.
So what the hell do you do for 3 months? Go on the dole?
Mate, that's your most productive 3 months of the year for these guys. And that's what I don't know what word to use.
I've got a few choice words we could use.
I've got some pretty choice words to use as well, but I won't, given that this will be a public thing. But it's almost arrogance that these guys can have an entire industry sitting there not knowing what their future is bringing, yet say, oh, we've already always known that our preference is for a closure. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not the case. You know, we're questioning the science, and there are some serious questions around the science and the data that is utilized for the science. Now, statements that are made publicly by upper management of Fisheries Queensland contradict the science. And when I look into, like, I'm not a scientist, I'm just a fisherman. I can look into the Fisheries Queensland QFish website and have a look at fishing data, for example. And if you look back at 1997, 98, 99, there was around 600 commercial operations targeting mackerel at that time. And the average tonnage caught for the entire commercial operations was around 1,000 tonnes a year of all mackerel. It's not just Spanish mackerel, but this is just to give you an indication. The QFish website does not separate Spanish mackerel from spotty mackerel or school mackerel. So for us to get that detailed analysis is not so easy. But when you're looking at an average fishing days in that period prior to the rezoning and the buyouts and what have you, each operation on average fished around 27 days. Their average catch was around 1.6, 1.7 tonne, literally twice as many licences in at that time. Now, if you fast forward to 2019, 2020, 21, we're looking at an industry that is more than halved. So we've gone from 615 operations down to 255 in 19, 283 in 20, and then 261 in 21. Their average fishing days are around 25, 26 fishing days on average, but their catch has actually increased. The total ton on average per license has increased to around 2 ton a year. So where Fisheries Queensland get out there in the public and say that this has been a trend that has been going on for a long time and what have you, for my way of thinking, is just totally misleading. And there are many other things I could say about it, but I just think that these guys have really got to sit back and look at what they're doing to industry, understand exactly the effects that their management practices are having. And it's not just going to affect this industry. It affects the public. What Fisheries Queensland are doing is making wild caught seafood a lot more expensive for the public to access. And I don't know whether that should be a Fisheries Queensland management role, but yeah, they really need to have a good look at this science and the data inputs and whatever.
So is Fisheries Queensland purely a regulatory agency, or is it an industry development agency? Because as a regulatory agency, it's doing its thing to the degree that they just create more regulations and make it more difficult for us to fish. But as an industry development agency, if that's what they are, and I don't know which of the two they are, they've consistently, and I've had this said to me by many fishermen and many people that are supportive of industry, that industry's probably been on a fighting retreat from the way we've been managed for the last 30 odd years, that we're constantly being undermined by a department that really doesn't know what it's doing. And the proof of this is the implications for you guys as business owners. Forget the fishing element. Put that to one side. You guys run businesses, and how do you get surety in your business when out of a 12-month season, you may lose a third of it, a quarter of it through a closure, that you're not quite sure when the closures come in, but you've got to refit and do all the things that you need to do to get ready to go fishing, to the point where at any point in time, the executive officers in Fisheries Queensland can sign an emergency declaration saying we're putting in a closure and no more commercial fishing, or, not that this is any better, restricted commercial fishing for an extended period of time. There is no assessment of those impacts. And I wasn't aware that at the start of your process as a working group that it was fully focused on the environmental side of things. But that kind of makes sense, that the department has to build its narrative that the fisheries were in a state of disrepair and to the point of collapse. and that their interventions are going to want is what's going to make the fishery better. Now, that might be a conversation worth having if the science was robust enough for us to believe what's coming out of the science. But the discussions we've had now and the discussions we've had previously suggest that there is a lot more to the science that they don't want to talk about. And, you know, if I was a conspiracy oriented person, you might think, why don't they want the working group to question the science? Why isn't that part of your role? And, you know, I guess you can guess where I'm going with this. And the almost doubling down of the department to say the science is in, we can't question the science. Not so. You guys have continually done it.
If I was a little bit conspiratorial, I would probably say it's possible they've set this thing up to look like it's very, very low. And then they can claim they've waved their magic wand over it with these new plans and suddenly lifted it back up to they've set the goalpost, they've set the goalpost very low to start with to make it look like they've done some amazing thing. But I'm not conspiratorial. I won't suggest that.
No, but by no means are we being conspiratorial. Yeah. We're just looking at what's in front of us. I find it interesting that we get to a point where we're trying to work with the department. Now, yes, I can say from a QSIA point of view, we've had our major differences with this department, but even before the reform started, and this is part of the reform process, you can't unlock the two. I think everyone was in a position that they wanted to really talk about what did reform look like. And we now know what reform looked like to them, and it was being told this is what's going to happen, you're going to have to deal with it. But in the Spanish mackerel fishery, it's not the same as the new quota fisheries that have been brought in, because you guys have been under quota for almost 20 years, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so after two decades of being in that kind of management arrangement, to get to where we've gotten to now is not a failure of my people, my mob. It's a failure of management. And they don't want to admit that. And one of the things I think we'll never see, vessel tracking is an example of this. The department's never going to admit that they did something wrong or say sorry, because a mea culpa means that they are open to litigation if they've done something wrong. And I keep hearing the term resource reallocation in relation to Spanish mackerel. Have you got a view on that, Richard?
I certainly do. In relation to Spanish mackerel, I just get the feeling that Fisheries Queensland, given 3 to 4 years ago, I can't remember exactly when it was, they did a reduction on the recreational take down to a boat limit of 6. A bag limit of 3 per person. I just feel that they're going to attack the commercial industry, given the fact that publicly Fisheries Queensland have stated that the quota allocations are too high in the commercial fishery and that you know, needs to be addressed. The other concern I have surrounding their changing of the quota and all that sort of stuff is that they've publicly stated that quota needs to change because it's not actually economically reaching its full potential for the investors. Now, you know, that the investors in quota, I would say. So who's pressuring Fisheries Queensland to reduce quota limits so that they can charge more for the quota allocations to the fishermen? So basically, if they reduce the total allowable commercial catch by a percentage on the quota, that's going to increase the cost to the fishermen. So when it increases the cost to the fishermen, it increases the cost to the consumer. And the coral trout fishery is a prime example of that, where they reduced the quota. Yep, they reduced the quota by 200 tonne. Now, we were paying around $3 a kilo for that quota prior to that being reduced. When it was reduced, the available quota to most fishermen was around that $7.50 a kilo. Now, to get 1 kilo of fillet out of a coral trout, there's $15 worth of quota. So that is directly passed on to the consumer. So the investor wins, which is, you know, it's an investment, that's fine. But when Fisheries Queensland openly state that they are seeking more income for the investors, I think that's totally wrong, because that's at the detriment of the consumer and the fisherman. So
it's not the job. I didn't see in the job description of a fisheries manager to interfere in markets that they create. Define irony, create a quota market, say you got to go and play in that market now, and then we'll interfere in that market when it suits our purpose. There's a level of I'm not going to use it. Okay. There's a level of stupidity here that beggars belief, and the fact that a departmental agency would say that is a concern.
The timing of it too is a concern. There's all this talk about food security and everything else to push the price of a staple food up, pushes the cost of the producer, pushes up the cost of the consumer for the benefit of an investor who's, for whatever reason, decided it's a good way to make 10% or more on their money. It's not sensible. It's pushing up a staple product into the realms of being a gourmet product with price. And there's probably no need to do that.
Richard, what I'll do is I'll put a link to the podcast where there's a discussion between Charlie McKillop of the ABC team and a senior fisheries manager around this, just to make sure that we're connecting anything we say with information that's in the public domain. Yep. Yeah, I like using facts. It helps.
It's always a bonus.
Yeah, it does help. Managing by guesstimate is not something I'm a fan of. But anyway, look.
Assumptions is a good word. They use the word assumption.
It's not a guesstimate. It's an assumption. That's right.
Guesstimates are assumptions, I suppose. But gee, they use them a lot in the discussions.
One thing to bring up before we go, gents, and I know you've had a meeting with the minister, Peter. What kind of sense did you get from that meeting of the minister for our fisheries? We're in the situation we're in with Spanish mackerel, which nobody wants, or at least no one from our sector wants.
He came to my smokery, the place where I sell all my fish. He ate some of the fish that I'd actually caught, and he said it was delicious and it was very good and that sort of thing. It was quite startling then to see him being questioned in Parliament about the mackerel stuff. And jumping up and down and saying that he said it's iconic. He said there was a recognition of depletion, and he was using an example of a fish shop up north who had to source their fish from a different place. At the same time, he was quite happy to tell me how wonderful my stuff was and how good it was that we're able to do it all year. And the thing that the quote that I got from his response in Parliament, it's important to get proper advice rather than putting out misinformation. So I think that's very apt, him suggesting that we avoid misinformation and at the same time promoting misinformation.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to do that.
I think a lot of what he was saying in Parliament there is that he was alluding to the fact that the reason he had to eat Spanish mackerel whilst in Townsville from a different fishery was because there was no Spanish mackerel on the East Coast and showed the depleted supplies. Well, what a bald face. Well, sorry. It's misleading to say the least.
That's a nice word for it. Misleading, yes. Yeah.
Misinformation. We'll use an appropriate one. Misinformation.
Is it misinformation or disinformation?
Yeah.
But one thing I want to point out, Eric, that we missed a little earlier in the podcast: a 2 to 3 month closure for a majority of the fishermen around the northern sector will equate to around 80% to 90% loss in their business productivity. It's not just 25-30% of the year that they will lose. They will lose their full productivity given the fact that that's when they operate. That's when they make their money. That's when they maximize their effort and whatever. So Fisheries Queensland have stated that because the changes that are coming in are under the grant guise of sustainability, there is no compensation whatsoever for the commercial fisheries that this will affect. I'm certain that there's a whole lot of legal ramifications for Fisheries Queensland and the government around that, given that this is either one, mismanagement, or potentially there'll be a lot of stuff going on around the site. You know, if you, the, there's, you know, with the science, you can look at steepnesses that have been set by the science. If you set a low steepness, what's going to happen? You're going to automatically get a low biomass. So there's a whole lot of things that should be done there. I think we, industry, need to be asking for a review of the data, an official review of the data from scientists, not from Fisheries Queensland scientists. They should. We need to be looking at the ability to engage other scientists, experts in the field that can review the data that Fisheries Queensland have utilised to basically destroy the industry, which is what they're about to achieve. So, yeah, there could be a whole lot of legal ramifications around this. Because Fisheries Queensland have said there's nothing there for the commercial industry because it is sustainability grounds. Now, let's just remember that for the since 2020, all the way back to previous stock assessments, we've been sitting around 40%. Now, is it the science that got it wrong all that time? Because that's what the stock assessment has said, that the science was wrong going through that management process. So who's in charge of the science? Or is it the management process that got it all wrong? So someone has to be held accountable for destroying an industry and removing this product, the public who consume it. So
yeah, very much agree. Sorry, Peter, you wanted to say something?
Well, I've copied something down from a radio interview that was done up north, and I've added my thoughts to it. In the radio interview, the response was, no, there has been no conversation or consideration of licensed buyback at this point in time. However, any changes that are made on sustainability grounds, which this are not able to be compensated under the Fisheries Act. So that was done on ABC radio thing. My response to that, it's not sustainability, but incompetent management has caused this situation. Therefore, funding should be available through the recreational enhancement levy. It was established just for this purpose. The Director General is aware of it and its value. The Minister was informed. Tom Smith was informed in the SRIDC. The working group discussed it in Cairns during a session of the working group. The Gurumpa representative on the working group constantly points to reports since 2000 evidence there was allegedly a problem which was foreseeable. The way these reports have been used as irrefutable evidence, yet still no action is taken, could also be taken as an admission of responsibility. So they've known there's a problem. They've done nothing about it. They've let it drag on, and all of a sudden there's someone they've got to kick, and that's the commercial fishermen.
Fundamentally, they're not going to go after the rec lobby or the charter sector. That's not going to happen. As much as I understand that all the sectors are going to be impacted, the politics of this is going to play out. We've been trying to make it clear to him for some time that we're not out there expending time on a recreational pastime, which is a legitimate one, of course, but we're out there trying to make an income and trying to provide seafood to those that can't access that seafood in any other way. Jokes aside, this where we're at with this fishery is indicative of just how bad the science process is and the policy making process is in this department. But getting them to do something about it, that's the $64 million question. But as you said, Richard, there'll be people looking at this from multiple perspectives, and we're just going to have to keep fighting this on as we do in this industry. So, gentlemen, I won't say this will be the last time we speak. I think there's more to the discussion, and I think once you've had your teleconference meeting, we could catch up after that to see if there's something you'd want to share publicly on a podcast. Is that doable, Peter, Richard?
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll be fine with that.
So for those listening, I've been speaking to Richard Gilmore and Peter Stevens of the Spanish Mackerel Working Group, commercial fishers in their own right and staunch advocates of our fisheries. Gentlemen, thank you for your time.
Thanks very much, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, everyone, for following, and we'll catch everyone on the next podcast.